This morning in our first session, we talked about doing good. And I told you when we start the second session, we'll talk about examples of that. The Bible has a great deal to say, like it does other subjects, but a great deal to say about good, being good. And the Bible tells those of us who are children of God that we're to be good. And one of the ways that we do that is we keep ourselves pure. That is, we keep ourselves holy. The word pure that's used in the New Testament is akin to the same word which is translated holy. Like, be yourselves holy even as he is holy, or be yourselves pure even as he is pure. In James 1 and verse 27, James is speaking to those who are Christian. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Well, if we're going to be an example of good, and we have an example of doing good, we have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The world may look upon some things as good, which God does not look upon as good. So what we want to do is we want to do the things that God considers to be good, which means we have to not be spotted by the world or tainted by the world. One of the things the Bible tells us is we ought to visit. This is an example of doing good. In James again, verse 27, looking at the rest of the verse, pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit the fatherless or the orphans and widows in their distress. So to visit is one of the things that is doing good. This visit does not necessarily mean just giving the money, although that might be part of it. A lot of brethren limit this to money, but he's not just talking about money. He's talking about visiting with them. You might visit with them on the phone. You might visit with them in a sense of writing them a letter. I know we wrote a letter to one of our shut-ins recently, and she talked about how much she enjoyed the letter and wrote us a fine, nice letter back about getting that letter. And she told me that she had read it many, many times. So you can visit that way too. But this passage is, you visit those who are fatherless, that'd be orphans, and you visit those who are widows in their distress. Well, right now, some of our shut-ins are in distress because they won't let them out. They won't let them go anywhere. In Proverbs, the 31st chapter, verses 10 and 20, and I realize this is not as easy to read as I'd like for it to. I should have put it in a different font than that. But in talking about that, Solomon, the wise man, is talking about a woman. He calls her a worthy woman. He said she's a worthy woman, and the reason she is in verse 20 is because she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Well, what's she doing? She's visiting the widows. That's what she's doing. She's visiting the fatherless, the orphans. She's doing exactly what James says that a person ought to do. So this is an example, then, of a good work. The good work is to open your arms to those who are poor and extend your hands to those who are needy. But not only is that an example of a good work, also to support people is an example of good work. To give support. You might give support to those who have a desperate need, but you also might give support to those who are preaching the gospel, to someone who has a need in reference to that. In Acts 20 and verse 35, here the Bible says, I have shown you, and of course Paul's talking about this, I have shown you that you must support the weak. That's what he's talking about, support the weak. Well, that'd be like visiting, we were talking about a while ago. But you support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So remember what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted people to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So support the weak. And that's the idea of doing that in Acts 20 and in verse 35. Support the weak. It's more blessed to give than to receive. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, again, Paul's the one speaking here. And he says, we exhort you, brethren, comfort the faint-hearted. So there's support. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Uphold the weak. Comfort, uphold, be patient. That's one of the ways that we can do good works for others. We uphold them. We comfort them. We are patient with them. We do that sometimes with those who are new converts. In a sense, they're weak. Not that they didn't know they need to obey the gospel. They're very strong about that. But they may not know some of the other things they need to know. And so what we try to do is to teach them the things they need to know to keep them faithful. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost when people obeyed the gospel. They continued steadfastly the apostles' teaching. They were continued to be taught. So that's one of the good works that we can do. We can do good works by remembering the words of the Jesus, by supporting those who are weak, and it's more blessed to give than to receive, but also to comfort individuals, uphold them, and be patient with them. In Acts 9 and verse 36, we're told that there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha who was named Dorcas. Her other name was Dorcas, of course, translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. So here's an example of a particular person who was zealous. This person was zealous. She was very zealous of good works. She was full of them, full of good works and charitable deeds which she did, making clothes and things for others. That's what she did. But also an example of good works is to be careful and have care for one another, to care about others and have care for brethren and so on. In Luke 4 and verse 40, Jesus Christ is speaking. He talked about when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. So Luke is recording now what happened while Jesus was walking on the earth. He said those who were sick were brought to Jesus. They had various diseases. Wouldn't it be a wonderful day if Jesus was on the earth and he could take care of this virus that's giving us so much trouble? But they had various diseases, and they brought them in. He laid his hands on every one of them. Notice that. He didn't say, well, it's time for us to close. He didn't say we can only take one or two in today. And you've got to stay out in your car and all that kind of thing. And if we have time, we'll get to you. He didn't say that at all. But what Jesus did was he took care of every one of them. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. In other words, Jesus is an example of taking care for others. Sometimes we hear about particular programs in our society, like food banks and so on, they're only open for a period of time. There's a long line out there of people that need food. And when it comes time to close, a lot of times they close, and those people still need food. Now, some of the others will stay open. I understand that. But the idea in this passage of Scripture is it didn't make any difference how many people had diseases. People that had these diseases, the sick that had these various diseases, they were standing there and they were being brought to Jesus, and they were standing there. I assume they were in a line because Jesus had to go and put his hand on each one of them. But he took care of every one of them that had the disease and healed them. Well, in Luke 9 and verse 2, again, Luke records, he sent the apostles to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So not only is Jesus an example of that, we were talking about this morning, that disciples are not above the teacher, but the disciples are an example of what the teacher does. And here's an example of that. Here's a statement about this. What Jesus said was, you who are my disciples, you've seen me heal the sick. What I want you to do is I want you to preach the kingdom of God to them. I want you to talk about how to be saved spiritually, but I also want you to heal the sick. That's what he told them to do. Well, that's taking care of people. That's an example of that. In James 5, verses 14 and 15, James is talking about that also when he says, if you're sick, is anyone sick? He said, well, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Now, I know sometimes this is relegated to just sin, but I think it's talking about more than sin. I think it's actually talking about diseases here because they anointed them with oil. That's what they used at that particular time. And then he says if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. So it has something to do with physical ailments as well as with spiritual ailments here. But what is being said is here, you can call for the elders of the church and they can pray for you. They can do that. And although we may not do that specifically today, we do have prayer at our assembly, don't we? And a lot of times the elders are the ones who lead the prayer. So we do that, and we would do that if somebody calls us. We would do that. We would go to them and pray for them. I don't know that we'd anoint them with oil because we wouldn't know what kind to do, maybe 10W-40, something like that. But I don't know which one it would be, but we would certainly pray for them. And here's an example of that. So here's an example of doing good works. That's what they were doing. Well, another thing that we talk about in the Scriptures, or that the Bible talks about in doing good works, is being hospitable to other people, practicing hospitality. In Hebrews 13 and verse 2, the Hebrew writer said, do not forget to entertain strangers. You know, it's pretty easy to entertain those that we like and those that are our best friends. We'll do that easily. But sometimes we need to entertain or think about those who are maybe not our best friends. And here he's talking about strangers. In Bible times, and particularly in the time of the New Testament, people would travel from one place to another, and they might have an inn or may not have an inn. But oftentimes the brethren would have to put them up in their own houses. That's what they'd have to do. They didn't have all these Holiday Inn Express and all these different things like we have. They didn't have all that. They might have an inn, but it would probably be in a place, a larger city. But in smaller cities, they wouldn't even have that. So the fact is, what Paul is saying here in this passage of Scripture is, you be aware of the fact that there may be strangers that need your help. For he said, for in so doing, when you entertain strangers, you have unwittingly entertained angels. Well, an angel is a messenger, of course. And so the ones he's talking about here probably are the messengers, the preachers, and so on, that brought them the message of God. But whether he's talking about a real angel or not is beside this point. He said, if they're strangers, you take care of them. And we read way back in the Old Testament, that's exactly what Lot did when those angels came to him. He took them into his own home. That's what he did. In Romans 12 and verse 10, we read about the fact that we're to be kindly affectioned one to another. We're to be given to hospitality, the Apostle Paul said. Given to hospitality, that's what we're to do. So we're to give into hospitality. We're to be kindly affectioned, verse 10. But verse 13 says, give into hospitality. That's what we're to do. So these are examples, then, of good works. We talked about the fact that the Bible says we are to do good. Well, these are examples of this. We talked about taking care of people's need this morning. Well, that's talking about sharing. So we have examples of people being taken care of that had a need. People sharing with them. In Philippians 4, verses 14 through 16, by the way, there are lots of other passages we could use with regard to this. I've just picked out one or two. But in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul said, you did well. You have done well, he said, that you shared in my distress. So they're sharing because they're distressed. There's a problem that Paul can't take care of himself, and he needs help from others. And that's the idea. And those that could are sharing with him. We talked about that this morning. We were talking about the fact, or a little while ago, we were talking about some people might say, well, look, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you don't give them things needful to the body. And that kind of faith cannot save. It can't help anybody. So what Paul is talking about here is, you actually did that. You saw my distress. You didn't say, go in peace, I hope you have enough to eat, and then close your door. But you helped them. And he reminds them of this when he says, now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but ye only. You sent once and again to my need. Well, he calls it a distress in the first part. He calls it a need in the last part. So what did you do? You sent to my necessities. And then he said, I have all things, and I have all and abound. That's what he said. I have all, and I abound in the things that you've given unto me. That's what he says. So they're sharing with him. They're giving him everything that he needs. They gave him enough that he could abound in it. So the distress was no longer there. The need was no longer there. He said, I have all and abound. I am full. That's the idea. I'm full. Having received from Epaphroditus the things that you sent from him, from you, the things that you sent through him, a sweet-smelling aroma, he said, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing unto God. What are you saying, Paul? I'm saying that when somebody takes care of the distress, they're sharing, and that's well-pleasing unto God. And so he says, you Philippians did that. Nobody else did. When I began preaching the gospel, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of receiving, but ye only. When I left Macedonia, nobody else helped me. Well, isn't it wonderful the church at Philippi did? They helped Paul. And as a result of that, he said, I'm full. I have everything. I'm abounding in everything that I need. And that's well-pleasing unto God. So that's an example of sharing. Sharing what you have. Someone has need. You share with them. I think we do that sometimes in the physical realm. I know sometimes our neighbors that live next to us, that he has been very sick with a problem with his brain. And he's had to go into the hospital several times and had surgery. And once in a while, Marty will make something and take it to them. Now, that's sharing. That's what they're doing. And we do that sometimes in this congregation. When somebody's real sick or something, we make them a meal and take it to them because they're too sick to fix it. So we make them a meal. It's not that they probably couldn't afford it, but we make them a meal. We're sharing what we have. Well, this passage says that's well-pleasing unto God. That's well-pleasing unto God. In Hebrews 13, verse 16, here the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Hebrews, said, don't forget to do good and to share. Don't forget to do that. You can do good. You have something. Don't forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In the first passage we looked at, we said, he said this sharing is well pleasing to God. In this passage, he says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Because we're doing exactly what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's what Jesus taught. Jesus did the very same thing. He shared with others. He took care of others. He was interested in others. And he did that very thing. And I point out in our first lesson this morning that that's exactly what the early Christians did with regard to the Hellenistic Jews. When they saw they were being neglected in the daily ministration, the apostles said, you pick out 7 men. We're going to appoint over this business of what? Waiting on tables. We're going to make sure they get enough food. The Jewish Christians were getting plenty. But the Hellenistic or Gentile Christians weren't. It's another lesson, but the fact of the matter is the Jews were pretty well guilty of racism at that time. They didn't like the Gentiles. Racism not used in the Bible, that term isn't, but that's exactly what they were guilty of. They didn't like the Gentiles. So what they were doing was taking care of the Jewish widows. We've got plenty for them, but you Gentile widows, you're just going to have to go out and hope you can find a scrap somewhere. That's kind of the idea. And the apostle said, no, that's not right. So you look out from yourselves, he said, this congregation, you look out from yourself, you pick some men, and you make sure that they're taken care of. That's what the apostles are saying unto them. We'll appoint them. They're going to wait on tables. Not meat for us to do. That's not our job. That's your job, is basically what the apostles are saying there in the book of Acts. So, we should never forget to do good. That's Hebrews 13:16. Never forget to do good. We should never forget to share. Or so with such sacrifices, and sometimes it is a sacrifice. Because we have to take from ours and give it to somebody else. That's what we do. It's a sacrifice. And without such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So what should we remember? Well, let's remember something Paul said in Galatians 6. In Galatians the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul was speaking to those who are Christians. He said, do not grow weary while doing good. In other words, you continue to do good. Don't get weary. Don't quit. You continue to do good. He's speaking to these Galatian Christians. He says, as you have opportunity, only use the word we here, talking about himself and them. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Let's do good to all men. And then he went and gave a caveat to that, especially to those that are household of faith. So let's do good unto all men. Now, I've heard people say, if some preachers say this is limited just preaching the gospel. I'm not sure it is. That's not what he said. He said, let's do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith. Well, they've already heard the gospel, so it's got to be something besides just hearing the gospel. But he says, let's do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith, but let's not grow weary while doing good. What's good? What's it good to do good to all? And that's what we've been talking about, the examples we have today of hospitality, of sharing, of caring for people. We've talked about all these things, of visiting people, of supporting people. All these things are good. And let's not forget to do that. Let's not become weary in doing good. But let's do all of these kind of things. These are examples. And what we do then is we keep in mind what Jesus said. We are to do good to all men. And that's what Jesus said, do good to all men. That's what we're to do. And so let's remember that, what the Bible teaches about doing good. And I'm not suggesting in this, folks, that you don't already know these things or you're not practicing them, but it's good for us to recall them from time to time and make sure we're doing those kind of things. So let's remember then to do good to all men. Well, as we talk about this, I might suggest to you, too, that there's something that you can do good for yourselves. And what is that in the spiritual? And what is it good for us to do for ourselves? Well, not only is it good for us to go to the market and buy whatever we need to eat and fulfill our bellies and fill them up and sustain us, but it's also good that we take care of our spiritual welfare. So let's remember to do good. Here he's speaking to these Galatians, says, you do good to all men. Well, that would include ourselves, too. So we do some good to ourselves. What can we do that's good for ourselves? We can make sure we're going to go to heaven when we die. That'd be good, wouldn't it? In fact, wouldn't that be very good, exceptionally good, to go to heaven when we die? So let's make certain while we're taking care of others that we take care of ourselves, too. Let's be sure that we do that. While we're supporting others, let's support ourselves. Let's do that. Let's remember ourselves also. We don't forget them, but let's remember that we want to go to heaven too. I remember talking to a preacher a number of years ago who spent all his time writing articles and going to whole meetings and all those kind of things. And his children were neglected. He was doing all this good for other people, but forgot to do good for his own household. And one of those daughters he had stayed with us one time in our house. She was going to Florida College at the time, was in the course, and when they came to Oklahoma City, we took care of different ones of them in our house. And she spent, I talked to her nearly all night long, Marty and I did, and how she had shed tears about the fact that she really didn't have a father because he was too busy doing other things. You see, he forgot to do good for his own family. That's what he forgot to do. While he's out there preaching the gospel and saving other souls, he was about to lose his own. And he eventually did lose his own family because he spent too much time doing something else. Well, let's be sure we don't do that. Let's take care of ourselves at the same time. Let's make sure we're going to go to heaven when we die. Let's make sure that we do everything the Lord tells us to do that we know we can do. Let's do exactly what Jesus said. Let's believe and let's be baptized. Let's repent of our sins. Let's be baptized for the remission of our sins so we can go to heaven. That's good, folks. That's good for us. Let's tell other people to do it too. But let's not be so busy in telling other people what to do and then fail to do it ourselves. It's good for us to do these things. We need to do these things also. Let's do good while we're still alive, while we're here upon this earth. How can we do that? Will we respond to the Lord? The best thing for me to do is bring Christ my broken life. That's good. And that's what this song says. Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin, he'll create anew and he'll make it whole again. Is that good? Yes, that's very good. Your empty, wasted years he will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. That's good. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's bring Christ our broken life. As a penitent believer, confessing faith that we believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being baptized into Christ and put on Christ, and then having been raised to walk in newness of life and being faithful till we die, that's a good thing. And we'll go to heaven. If I can help you do that, I'd love to.